Our dogs and the best baseball talk you can find. So kick back with your bacon and eggs and pour yourself a mimosa while Phillies announcer Greg Murphy and Green Legion Radio's Chris Sack break down your fighting Phils and take you around the league right now on Baseball Brunch. Play ball!
And good morning, Philadelphia. Welcome to Bud Light Baseball Brunch, powered by Green Legion Radio on 102.5 Fox Sports, The Gambler, Philadelphia, 104.1 in the Trenton area, WDAS around the rest of the Delaware Valley, or just simply download that iHeartRadio app. I keep saying it every single week, just like I keep on saying good morning, Philadelphia, when really, in reality, it's not that great of a morning. The weather is going to be not on the great side today, and the Phillies are on the verge of being swept by the Pittsburgh Pirates. But nonetheless, here we are for another great show for you all to listen in and get some baseball conversation. We are broadcasting live. Well, I'm broadcasting live from the Fox Sports The Gambler Studios in Ballykinwood. My partner, Greg Murphy, is out there by himself. I want to play the all by myself. That's what you'd look like right now, Murph. I think it's you and like some security guards and maybe some stray cats at Citizens Bank Park today.
Yeah, that's about it. You think you've gotten everybody here. It's quiet here at the ballpark, which is actually kind of cool to be in this place, you know, virtually by yourself. During the game the other day, Friday night, I was walking around the concourse trying to get a little exercise while the game was going on and listening to the guys on my headset in between pre and post. And it's a cool place to be when it's really quiet here, for sure. But let's hope that it's a little louder at PNC Park today, and let's hope that the bats aren't nearly as quiet as it has been over the last 2 days, because that's really what needs to happen. This team, you said, on the verge of getting swept by the Pittsburgh Pirates. That can't happen. It just can't happen. I don't think it will. I think the Phils probably win today, but it has been uninspired baseball over the last couple of days.
Absolutely brutal, and we're going to dive further into that, but our first segment is brought to you by MCS Residential and MCS Custom Cabinetry. For all your residential contracting needs, this is who you want to talk to. Everything from additions, renovations, kitchens, baths, closet organization, cabinetry, vanities, basements, whatever you need, everything that you need. Mention the Green Legion and get 10% off your order regardless of how much. I know I did. I'm set up for September to get my bathroom redone. So reach out to them at www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. That is www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. Now, before we go out of the box, and we want to talk a little bit about what's going on in the world of Phillies baseball and the world of baseball in general, because I can't wait, Murph. Our second segment today is going to be lit. This is one of the best trade deadlines that Major League Baseball has had in quite some time. So many people moving, so many different which ways. Some of them I just can't stand. They look completely ugly in the other team's uniforms. Javi Baez with the Mets, namely one, but we'll dive into others for sure. But Murph, we're giving people here at Green Legion Radio and Bud Light Baseball Brunch, so I know we have another trivia question this week, so why don't you go ahead and dive right into that?
Yeah, because we want to give away some tickets, and we're giving away two tickets to the Phillies-Mets on Sunday, August 8th at 1:05. It's the Wall of Fame weekend, and the Phillies are, of course, on that Sunday going to honor number 34, the great Roy Halladay, and honor him for getting into the Baseball's Hall of Fame. They wanted to obviously do it last year. They weren't able to do it last year. So this year they are honoring him. It's going to be a great weekend, as you pointed out. David Montgomery being honored on Friday night. Manny Trio going up onto the Wall of Fame on Saturday. And then, of course, on Sunday, Roy Halladay. So in order to win these tickets for Sunday's game, you got to answer in the comments section on the Green Legion Radio YouTube channel or the Green Legion Facebook page or at our Twitter handle, at Green Legion. So any of those ways, put the answer right there on the comment, and we need the full answer right there in one post. So make sure you
Sean do that. Henderson.
Here's the question. Yeah, here is the question. On May 29th, 2010, Roy Halladay threw the second perfect game in the history of the Philadelphia Phillies, joining Jim Bunning, who threw one back in 1964. There are only two other teams in Major League Baseball history that have had three perfect games pitched for their franchise. Who are those two teams? Two-part answer, and both must be in the answer line. So the Phillies have two in their history. There are two teams in Major League Baseball that have three. We want to know who those two teams are. That is a good question. We'll announce the winner in the top of our next segment, so make sure you get your answers in quickly. I knew the answer to that. to that, by the way.
I'm happy for you. Now, are we actually sure that they're retiring the number for Roy Halladay? I mean, not doing it for AJ Burnett or Aaron Harang? I mean,
well, you know, if you ask Gary Matthews, they're doing it for him, Sarge. Big number 34. Sarge is priceless. He used to walk around the ballpark and people had Halladay jerseys on. He's like, look, number 34. Look, number 34.
That's all, yeah. Yeah, you know he's trying to hop in that Cadillac, Murph, for sure.
Absolutely. So, yeah, but it should be a special day for sure. Roy's family will be here. And, you know, the Phillies, they do those kinds of days right. And you know, the weekend, it's not alumni weekend this year because they're still trying to get, you know, things back to normal. So not able to bring a whole host of alumni in this year. But there will be some on hand for the weekend, and obviously the honorees that weekend are pretty special, so it should be a great weekend.
Yeah, I'm trying to get down there on Friday night for David Montgomery night, and then I'd love to make my way over to the ballpark next Sunday after our broadcast. I really won't even care about sticking around for the game, or if I really, I just want, I love Doc, so I would just love to see the ceremony, and you know, he meant so much to us as baseball fans, as Phillies fans, and it's funny, because like really, in reality, he was here for 4 years, but two of those years were just truly special. You know, in my lifetime, two of the greatest pitching performances I've ever seen. Yeah. I know Cole Hamels had some special times. Cliff Lee had some special times. Curt Schilling had some special times. You know, but outside of that, it's you know, rare air to see performances absolutely like he did in 2010 and 2011.
Absolutely, no doubt about it.
But we're not getting that from this team, Murph. You know, so let's go out of the box here, Murph. Okay, so you know, up and down, back and forth, kind of week for the Phillies. 3-4. You know me, Murph. I always do the run sheet on Saturday mornings, and I put here 4-3 week with a win Saturday against the Pirates. 3-4 if we lose. We better not after Friday night's future performance. That's exactly. I mean, if anybody wants to see my run sheet, that's exactly what I put on here.
That's exactly what you wrote.
Absolutely, and I try to preach honesty here on our broadcast. Integrity is what I'm all about, and so I'm not going to go underneath that banner of performance. But Murph, if you mind, I would like to have a little bit of a sack attack here, because I'm to the point, my breaking point is, you know, I like to stay positive, but I can't do it this week. I just can't. I simply, like, in the deepest depths of my, you know, my ice cold heart, I just can't do it this week, because like every single time you think this team is going to pick you up, they let you down the very next day. Last Sunday, Aaron Nola, phenomenal performance last Sunday to pick the Phillies up to split that series against the Braves. They go into that series and they have the walk-off hit on Monday night. Phenomenal. You're down 4-0. You come all the way back. 3-run shot by Kutch, the walk-off home run. And then the next day, they lay a complete absolute egg. Down 6-0 after two. You know, Didi, you know, missing the fly ball in foul territory. And then Matt Moore, just because he's Matt Moore. It's like, and then you have the COVID issues on Wednesday, and then the doubleheader on Thursday. Listen, you're going to lose a game to Max Scherzer. You know, it's going to happen. You know, that was a phenomenal pitching performance between Wheeler and Scherzer, and Scherzer got the best of Wheeler on the way out the door. But 7-0, you're down on Thursday, and you're like, man, like, they come all the way back, they tie it, like, nobody on base, two outs, they're down to their last strike three separate times in that inning, and they come back and tie it. They go down 8-7. Ryan Zimmerman, you know, Philly killer to the extreme, does it to us again. And then you hit a walk-off grand slam. You know, Aaron Nola gets walked, and then, you know, the bamboo Brad Miller does his deal in walk-off grand slam fashion. And then the next day, you get one hit against the Pirates. Then you only scored two runs against the Pirates on Saturday. Like, I every time you think that this is the biggest win of the season, we're primed to make a run. Like, we're going, like, this is going to turn the season around, and this is where everything's going to change. And then all of a sudden, they just let you down the very next day. And, like, I understand, Murph, like, we're going to dive into this, because I know, you know, you work for the team, and you do the pre and post, and you've done some play-by-play this year, which was phenomenal, by the way. But I can't help myself now. It's like, I'm waiting to be swept today. I'm waiting to lose like 3 of 4 against the Nationals this week, you know, who have been COVID, you know, decimated by COVID, decimated by the trade deadline, and then all of a sudden, like, the Mets are going to come to town next week, and we're going to sweep them. And we're going to be like, oh, we're back in the race. And then the following week, Murph, please, talk me off the ledge here. I know I've gone on, like, a three-minute spiel here, and I know you're laughing at me. If anybody's following us on StreamYard, Murph has been sitting there with a smirk this whole time. But, you know, Murph, please. Dive in, please.
It's not a smirk. It's not a smirk. I feel your pain. I do. Everything you just said is accurate. Everything that the sack attack is real. Look, if you're a Phillies fan and you're not feeling frustrated the way you are, then you're not feeling. The only way to feel about this team right now is frustration. We said it last week. At no time during this season have the Phillies been more than four games above 500. And at no time during this season have the Phillies been more than four games below 500. It is the most average of records that a team can put together. They have hovered around 500 this entire season, and when you do that, you lose a lot of games coming off of great wins. You don't build on momentum when things go right. The good news is you don't have extended losing streaks either, but you can't win a division by playing 500 baseball. You're not going to win the East at 81-81. It's not going to happen. You might not win the NL East if you're not 5, 6, 7, 8 games over 500 when it's all said and done. So to believe that the Phillies can turn this around, you're basically stepping out with a little bit of faith, because they haven't shown you that they've been able to do that so far this year. So the frustration that you have is real. We all feel it. What happened last night, you get a good pitching performance from Aaron Nola again last night, which is a great sign. Back-to-back good pitching performances from Aaron. And the bats are cold. You know, they didn't get a hit for 11 straight innings against the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Pathetic.
That can't happen. It cannot happen. Now, they're missing Hoskins, who has been one of their better hitters all season. He's not there. But guess what? Every team, especially in this division, the Mets and the Braves and the Nats, have dealt with injuries just as much as the Phils. So you can't put it on injury. You can't do any of that. This team is just not good enough right now. Talented enough, yeah, but not good enough right now to give you any kind of real hope that they can go on a run. Now, that said, this division is brutal. It's a bad division. And even after the trade deadline, the Phillies did some good things at the deadline that I really like, that I think are going to help them.
I agree.
As did the Mets, as did the Braves. But, here we sit. They're two games under 500. They're 4.5 games out of this division, and they've got a chance. So you have to put aside what we've seen this past week, and you got to be better. That's the bottom line. Joe Girardi said it last night. We got to be better. And, you know, I fingers crossed that they can do it, because I certainly would love to see it. But they've got some proving to do, because they haven't done it yet.
And I appreciate Girardi saying that, but I need the guys in the clubhouse to say that. Where's the life? Where's the energy? Like, you get that out of Monday's game. You know, like, the way they celebrate, and the way that they, you know, after games and with the walk-offs and everything, and then on Thursday, like, you know, man, you would think it would carry over, that momentum would carry over into a winning streak, an actual winning streak, okay? Like, you know, not this one game, you know, win one game, lose one game, win one game, lose one game, win two games, lose one game, lose, you know, it's like, it's all back and forth stuff, and like, it's like, you don't give any, everybody wants to sit here and say, oh, well, nobody's going to the games, well, Why would you? As a Phillies fan, like, yeah, it's great to be back. It's great to be at the ballpark. But, like, to have the understanding that your team is struggling the way that they are, to try and put together some consistent effort, like, the leadership in that clubhouse, I need Bryce, and I need JT, and Hoskins, and Kutch. Like, I don't even know what the lineup looks like today, Murph. We'll probably know by the end of the show. But, you know,
it's out.
Is Kutch in the lineup today? I know
Kutch
he
is not in the lineup. Hoskins not in the lineup.
Is JT off today?
JT is playing today.
JT's playing today. Okay. No, that's good. You know, like, it's just... you know, everybody wants to sit here and say, oh, well, the injuries, that's the reason why the offense is erratic. No, it's like you said, the Mets are missing Lindor right now. And Lindor wasn't, you know, he wasn't a world beater, you know, but when he got hurt. But it's Francisco Lindor. It's a name. It's somebody that you have to account for in the lineup.
How about Jacob DeGrom?
They're missing Jacob DeGrom. Yeah, you know, the Braves are missing Ronald Acuna Jr., yet they're sitting there in second place. And they made some moves. It's just, you know, we're going to dive further into that in the second segment. But let's talk a little bit about what the Phillies did at the trade deadline, Murph, because the second segment, I want to talk about everything else. I want to talk about Major League Baseball because there were so many moves that happened and so many players moved. The big move for the Phillies that they made before the deadline on Friday at 4 p.m. was with the Texas Rangers. They acquired 2021 All-Star starting pitcher Kyle Gibson, Rangers closer Ian Kennedy, and their ninth-ranked prospect Hans Cruz, who is projected to be a closer someday. So I like the fact that, you know, you're getting somebody established like that in your minor league system that could eventually come up and help out. In exchange, we traded them Spencer Howard, thank God, Kevin Gaudy, and Josh Gessner. The Phillies will also get $4 million back in cash in that deal. And then, as a sidebar here, they brought back Freddie Galvis as well. That's going to solidify their defense in late inning situations and add some versatility. But I do like the fact that they're solidifying their rotation here, Murph, because you know, you bring Kyle Gibson. I think we're still, what, 2 or 3 weeks away from Zach Eflin coming back. What they did, too, is they completely reshuffled the rotation. So Ranger Suarez, who was the closer, is now going to be a starting pitcher. They're going to start him on Monday. He's going to give you three innings. They're going to try and stretch him out. I'm assuming they're probably going to try and stretch him out by inning every single appearance that he has moving forward. They took Vince Velasquez out of the rotation, Matt Moore out of the rotation. They're both in the bullpen, and Chase Anderson is going to start in place of Vince Velasquez. You know, and then eventually Chase Anderson, I would believe, would be out of the rotation once Eflin comes back. Why don't you tell me? I like the moves from that end. Put Ian Kennedy in the closer role. Guys had 16 saves this year, 2.51 ERA, and a vaunted AL West. You know, that's not an easy division nonetheless, and pitching against the DH. Now he's coming to the National League to be the closer. So I think Joe Girardi now is able to position his chess pieces in both the bullpen and in the rotation.
Yeah, I like the moves. I thought what they did, we had Dave Dombrowski on the show on Friday right after the deadline was over, and you know, got to get his thoughts on why they did what they did and what they were hoping to accomplish. Look, you know, they needed starting pitching. They get Gibson and a good, you know, he was an all-star this year. He's a good piece in this rotation for sure. They were able to go out and get him and, you know, kind of at a package deal, bring in some back-end bullpen help in Ian Kennedy, who, as you pointed out, has been really good this year in that role. We talked to Ian yesterday. He is really excited to be here. You know, obviously the Rangers weren't going anywhere. He talked about just how excited he and Kyle are to be in, you know, in essence, a pennant race, because they are in the NL East in the middle of a pennant race at this point, or a division race, I should say, in terms of, you know, maybe getting to the postseason. So those guys are great. And then what you didn't mention, Freddie Galvis, obviously coming back to the fold as well. Now, he's injured right now. He'll be ready to go in about 2 to 3 weeks. And it'll be interesting to see how they, you know, deploy him. If Didi continues to struggle, I think he's going to get a lot of playing time. I don't think he's going to be an everyday guy for the Phillies at this point, but certainly he can play third base and he can play shortstop. He can play more than just that. He can play just about anywhere.
Yeah, he's played in the outfield before.
Yeah. I think we'll see him mostly in those two spots going forward. And, you know, it gives the Phillies a little bit of depth, protects them on injuries just in case someone were to get hurt down the stretch. So I really like what the Phillies did at the deadline. It wasn't the big splashy move that, that, you know, many fans were hoping for. But guess what? That's not always what gets it done. And hopefully these two pieces are enough to get it done. We'll see Kyle today. I'm excited to watch him pitch. You know, it's a huge spot because the Phillies need him to come up big against the Pirates today. And, you know, hopefully he does. Hopefully he rises to the occasion. So all in all, I thought it was good. You know, I thought it was solid. But at the end of the day, it's not going to matter if this offense doesn't, you know, start to click again, because they've got to start scoring some runs. They've got to start putting together a couple wins in a row, or none of this is going to matter.
Well, they also had the Tyler Anderson debacle the other day, too, Murph. I mean, it was reported that he was coming here, then you had an issue, one of our players that was going there with the medicals. They tried sorting that out. I heard it was like 4 hours that they were going back and forth, and then all of a sudden the Mariners swoop in.
It's like, I don't think that was. I mean, it would have been great to have Anderson come here. I mean, again, it would have been a good piece, but maybe the other trade doesn't happen if the Anderson deal does go down. That kind of stuff happens all the time. The difference is we're in a time now where, you know,
everything's out there.
Leaked, yeah. And everything is out there. You know, 10, 15 years ago, that story probably never comes out, or it comes out after the trade deadline that the Phillies were close to acquiring. You know, it is what it is. You know, I'm sure there are other deals that got close and fell through at the last minute for one reason or another. The bottom line is, what did they do, and what they did is what we talked about. So,
like Ryan Howard for Chris Benson. You know, like,
there you go. There you go.
I mean, it would have gladly have taken his wife here.
Now, stay on focus.
but hey, you know, wouldn't it be bad to be neighbors with Chris Bryant and his wife? And just like State Farm, you know, I mean, life is full of surprises, some good, some not so good. That's why your State Farm agent is there with good neighbor service and surprisingly great rates for everyone. Yep, that's right. At State Farm, you get great service and great rates with every policy, so you can be prepared for all life surprises. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. When you want the real deal, call Dave Bavuso, State Farm Agency, 856-740-5012. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements. Coming up right after break, we dive in to the Major League Baseball deadline. Not just the Phillies deadline. This is the Major League Baseball deadline, as so many great players moved this past week in Major League Baseball. We're going to dissect it all. Also, make sure you guys get in there with the trivia question answer, as we'd like to give these tickets away for Roy Halladay jersey number of retirement next Sunday, August 8th. So make sure you guys dive in with that as well. Right here on Bud Light Baseball Brunch on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. We'll be right back right after this. All right, welcome back to Bud Light Baseball Brunch here on this Sunday morning in the Delaware Valley. The next sip, a small plastic drink pouch that frees your hands while you keep your beverage in the ready position. NECK, next sip. Time to free up those hands and wear your drink, everyone. It holds any beverage, even bottles, cans, and snacks. Text with both hands and drink at the same time. Visit nextsip.com and follow them at nextsip. Customize it anyway. Perfect for sports events. Philly born and USA made. Only $5 each. 15% off when you use the code GREENLEGION. Again, visit nextsip.com and follow them at nextsip. Welcome back again here for our second segment this week, and we are going to announce the winner of our tickets, which is Sean Henderson, who learned his lesson from a couple weeks ago. White Sox and the Yankees are the two teams that have thrown three perfect games during the course of their franchise history, and the funny thing is that there are three teams behind them that have thrown two. The Indians, which soon to be the Guardians, which is probably the worst name I've ever heard in my life. The Oakland Athletics, or Philadelphia Oakland Athletics combination. Kawhi, thank you. And our Phillies, all three are tied with second. So congratulations, Sean. Enjoy those two tickets for August the 8th for Roy Halladay jersey number retirement day. It should be a wonderful ceremony again before the New York Mets. And Murph, let's go ahead. Let's talk about it, man, because what a week it was for Major League Baseball. If you want attention, you want publicity, this was the week to get it, as far as everything, man, because the trade deadline was filled with so many moves. And I know we were talking about it on break, because you were asking me which one I was most surprised with. And I knew Scherzer was going to get moved. I understood that part of it. And we're going to dive into it, man, because the biggest loser, in my opinion, this week is the Padres, because the Padres missed out on Scherzer. They had the Dodgers sneak in right underneath them. So it's not just like they lost it to the Yankees or the Rays or the Red Sox. Like, you lost it to a team that's battling in your own division with you. But not even that. They lost Fernando Tatis Jr., and it might not just be 10 days with that shoulder injury, because if he's not better after 10 days, he's going to get shoulder surgery. And at this point in the game, shoulder surgery sounds like end of season for me. That's bad for baseball. That's bad for the Padres. But nonetheless, the Dodgers making the move for Scherzer did not surprise me.
at all. It's the other player involved in that deal, Trey Turner. Like, Trey Turner is 28 years old. I thought that they were going to build that lineup with Turner and Soto moving forward. Like, you know, like Zimmerman's on his way out. You know, they traded away Josh Harrison. You know, like some of these guys, like Victor Robles is okay. But, like, the cornerstone of that lineup moving forward to me, I thought all along was going to be, you know, Trey Turner either leading off or batting second, and Soto batting third or batting fourth, and you build everything else around there. But they decided to make that move and put Trey Turner in that deal with Scherzer. That right there was the biggest shock to me at the deadline.
Yeah, I agree with you. The fact that the Nats would move Trey Turner, it's kind of shocking, but you know, I think there's a little background to it. I think I'm pretty sure I have this right. I think I read that at some point that they had made a couple of long-term offers to Trey Turner, and he wasn't real excited about signing. You know, I'm not saying he wasn't going to re-sign with the Nationals, but he wasn't real excited about getting locked down for what they were offering at one point. So maybe they thought they weren't going to be able to keep him long term, and they saw the writing on the wall, so they decided to make the move. You know, they got some good pieces back in return from a farm system that has produced a lot of really good major league players. So you know, perhaps that was what they were thinking, but you're right. You know, the fact that the Padres miss out on Scherzer, and from, you know, all the rumors,
and Jose Berrios.
Jose Berrios.
Yeah,
they were in the mix for two. So Padres had a rough week for sure. And then on top of it, the Tatis injury. So, but I agree with you. Trey Turner was probably the biggest surprise to me. The other big surprise, not that he got traded, but to where he got traded, in my opinion, was Craig Kimbrell going across town to the Chicago White Sox.
Oh, man, the Cubs fans are not happy, man.
No,
they're not happy.
You know, it's like, you know, cats and dogs, right? They, those two teams don't like each other at all.
No. You ever been to a White Sox-Cubs game?
Yeah. No, I've never been to a White Sox-Cubs game.
Oh, man. Me and my dad one year, when we went out there for a Phillies series.
I bet.
It was great because it was Kerry Wood's last appearance as a Cub. He retired that day. His last appearance, he struck the guy out, and his son ran out of the dugout. It was a wonderful, wonderful scene to experience. But it's like they can't stand each other. And you go ahead and, like not only were the Cubs fans ticked off at the fact that, like, you know, Baez and Bryant and Rizzo, the cornerstones of their championship team from 5 years ago, are going out the door.
Right.
They're trading Kimbrell, you know, right down the red line. Down the red line.
It is hard to wrap your head around, especially if you're a Cubs fan. They may have handed the White Sox a ticket to the World Series. I mean, you know, you talk about a really good team that's pretty balanced. And
that bullpen's so good, Murph. That bullpen. And you add him back there.
I mean, you add it in, and it's like, wow. I mean, the rich get richer for sure in terms of the White Sox. So, you know, the only thing I'll say about the Cubs is they, you know, they've learned probably from looking around, and maybe right here in Philadelphia, you can't hang on to those pieces too long for sentimental reasons, because if you do, you're not going to get anything in return. And they were able to get some stuff back to you know, replenish their farm system, and you know, hopefully for their sake, you know, not go into a 10-year postseason drought.
I mean, who does that? Who does that? I'm sorry. We did.
Yeah, no, don't get me started. But anyway, so interesting that he would go, Kimbrel would go. Obviously, folks here in Philadelphia were hoping that Craig Kimbrel was going to be here, but the price tag was probably just too high. And you know what? I get it. They are able to get Ian Kennedy, and I think that's a really solid ad for the Phils, as we talked about. So, and Chris Bryant. I mean, Chris Bryant headed to the Giants.
Makes me sick.
Again. Well, but that team keeps getting better, and you know they're dealing with some injuries right now, but yet they have been able to keep the other teams at bay.
Is Longoria back yet, Murph?
No, I don't think he is.
All right, so I'm guessing he's going to play. I guess he's going to play third until Longoria comes back, and then they're probably going to move him into the outfield.
Yeah, put him in the outfield.
He's so versatile.
Wherever. They just need that bat in the lineup, and you know, that's a really good team too. The trade deadline really helps some of the good teams. You know, we see it in the NBA all the time, right? You know, there's a couple super teams in Major League Baseball right now.
Man,
think about it. Not just the Dodgers anymore. There's a couple of
them. Yeah, well, the Dodgers are scary. The Dodgers are scary, man. I mean, like, that lineup now, once they get Betts back, they just got Seager back. You know, Turner, once he's off COVID protocol, yep. Like, where are you going to put him? You could play, like, I know in the past he's played some center field. I know he's played some second base. But, like, every player in that lineup is versatile. Chris Taylor can play multiple positions. Max Muncy can play multiple positions. Now you have Trey Turner, multiple positions. You know, Justin Turner's an all-star at third. Seager was NLCS and World Series MVP last year playing short. Mookie Betts, you know, MVP in right field. You got Will Smith, not that Will Smith, but Will Smith is one of the best young catchers in the game. You know, and then
look
Bellinger.
At the rotation. Yeah, oh. Look at that. It's crazy. You're right. It's crazy. If the Dodgers don't win the World Series again, you're really going to have to scratch your heads. But there are other teams. There are other teams that are going to give them a run.
Giants. For money, Giants continue to give them fits this year too. So I mean, you know, that's going to be interesting to see. I think now the Giants and the Dodgers are really going to solidify themselves out west. I think they're going to separate, especially with Tatis out. Machado's going to throw that team on his back. If the Padres are going to stay into it. A couple moves that the Yankees made. Very, very surprising. I think we all thought that the Yankees were looking at pitching, but I think they might have said that, hey, you know, the price tag is really high on pitchers this year. So if we can't out-pitch you, we might as well out-slug you, because they've added in Anthony Rizzo and Joey Gallo, and they haven't gone off yet. Rizzo has, but the Yankees lineup has not gone off yet like you expected to against Miami this weekend, but it's only a matter of time. They just got Judge back. I guess Stanton is, you know, he's as healthy as he's ever going to be. But this lineup for the Yankees is now very, very formidable, very, very scary. They don't have a shot to catch the Red Sox or the Rays, Murph, but they do have a shot with that wild card. I believe they're 2.5 back behind the A's.
Yeah.
So if they're going to catch the A's, they're going to have to do a hitting.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think that was their thought process. Hey, let's see if we can go out and score 7, 8, 9 runs every game to kind of stave off maybe some questions in their rotation. And you know what? It might work. I mean, they do have a chance at the postseason with the wild card, and that's what they've got their eyes on. So, they were aggressive. They always are. The Yankees are always aggressive. But, man, they added in some real power and some real talent into that offense. And as you pointed out, I mean, Rizzo's already paying dividends. He's got 2 home runs in 2 games.
And they're not just like wall scrapers, too.
No. he doesn't hit cheapies.
Flat out bombs. Unbelievable.
I loved what he said. I don't know if you saw what he said pregame yesterday. He was being interviewed by the New York media, and they asked him about the rumors that maybe he was headed to the Boston Red Sox, and he said, you know what, I would much rather join the New York Yankees and beat up on the team that gave up on me early in my career.
Wow.
Rather than joining him. Yeah.
Wow.
You're talking about ingratiating yourself to the Yankee fans? Instant hero. Right,
okay.
There,
all right.
With one sentence. So, I thought it was, you know, sure. Certainly, if he had headed up to Boston, he would have said the complete opposite. However, know your audience. And I like what he had to say. It's smart. It's calculating. It's good.
Well, the Red Sox did add in former Cub and now former National, Kyle Schwarber. They added him. I don't know when he's supposed to come back. I know that hamstring injury that he had, but you know, the Red Sox aren't in dire need of needing him right now. I know a lot of pieces like us with Kyle Gibson, we need him today. We needed him today. You know, like I think you look at the Dodgers, you know, like they can wait on Trey Turner coming back. You know, a lot of these teams can wait on the guys that they made the moves for. But you know, that's a pretty formidable, you know, addition there for the Red Sox. Jose Barrios goes to the Blue Jays. And then you have this is the one that makes me absolutely sick.
I know, we haven't talked about it yet. I'm with you.
What, you're talking about Baez to the Mets?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Like, and you know what? He looks completely miserable wearing those colors, and I don't blame him. I would look miserable too if I ever had to wear that stuff. But yeah, Baez, you know, he hits a 2-run. That was a shot last night too, against the Reds. Votto's streak ends. That's actually, we'll talk about that. And can you believe it? I got like a bunch of them this week, Murph. And can you believe it? A bunch of really good ones. But the trade deadline, the Nationals and the Cubs. I know, like, the, you know, the Braves made some key additions, you know, in light of the fact that Acuna is out for the season. They added in, you know, Jorge Soler and Jack Peterson before that, and then they added in closer Richard Rodriguez, who was tagged to be going to the Phillies from the Pirates, and that didn't happen. But then the Nationals and the Cubs, Murph, I know you kind of shined some light on this earlier about how, like, you know, It's time to, you got to have the idea of when you're going to dismantle your championship core. Obviously, the Nationals have done it a lot faster than the Cubs did it. I'm really surprised that the Cubs, and I know the Dodgers have been like really dominant since they did win the World Series, back in 2016. But I'm really surprised at how fast like the Nationals and the Cubs have just completely turned their rosters around, and you could pretty much gamble and bet against them the rest of the season because those rosters have little, if not anything, left on them for the rest of the season.
Well, here's hoping, since the Phils are going to be taking on the Nats an awful lot headed down the stretch. But
thank God.
Well, that remains to be seen. We will see. But honestly, I'm not surprised. I'm surprised about the Nationals, not so much about Scherzer, but about Turner, as we talked about. But I'm not surprised that the Cubs decided to do this. I mean, they've been talking about trying to lower their salary, for a little bit now. They saw the writing on the wall. They weren't, even with this core, they weren't going to be a player this year in the postseason. And, I think they just decided, all right, now's the time, and let's see what we can get. And like I said, they got some nice pieces back. So they might not be down for very long. It's just a question of, you're sentimental to guys that bring a title to your town. And certainly for the Cubs, who waited so very long.
108 years.
Back. Yep. Those guys are, they'll never buy a meal in Chicago ever again. But that's, that's baseball. That's the business of baseball. And I'm very interested as Cubs. It'll take a couple of years to see how it all plays out. But if I'm a Cubs fan, I'm disappointed, but I understand and I'm excited about the future. So,
Murph, real quick, I know you wanted to give the starting lineup when we came back from break. I forgot about that. So before we go to this break, why don't you give me what the Phillies lineup looks like today?
I will, because it's kind of interesting. So Gene Segura leads off. He's playing second base. And then Travis Jankowski batting second. He's in center field today. Bryce Harper in right. And JT Realmuto is playing today, Sunday afternoon game for him behind the plate. Brad Miller once again at first base. He is batting fifth. Alec Bohm at third. He is batting sixth. D.D. Gregorius slides down to number seven in the lineup now. He's at the shortstop. Herrera out there in left field batting eighth. And, of course, Gibson on the mound, which is great news for the Phils. Kyle Gibson getting his first start with the Phillies, batting ninth in Pittsburgh. So that's your lineup today. No Hoskins. He is still dealing with that groin injury. And no Andrew McCutchen. And I don't have an update exactly on it sounded last night like maybe it was some kind of a tweak in the knee. But I don't have an update yet. However, if folks want to, listen to the pregame show, we might know the answer by then. It's tough, especially the way that McCutchen had been playing. So
yep, absolutely. And Kyle Gibson being a new guy on the team, he might need a new car to get himself around, and I think he needs to go to Cherry Hill Triplex, the premier New Jersey Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Kia, Mitsubishi, and Ram dealer serving South Jersey and all of the Delaware Valley. They have a huge selection of new and used vehicles from which to choose. Cherry Hill Triplex online and offline customers enjoy vehicle specials every day. We offer Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Kia, Mitsubishi, and Ram service and parts, an online inventory, and an outstanding financing options, making Cherry Hill Triplex the preferred dealer serving the entire Delaware Valley. Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Kia, Mitsubishi, and Ram buyers, get ready and set up a test drive. Visit us in Cherry Hill, New Jersey today. Coming up, our six picks for Major League Baseball's action. I'm coming off a pathetic week. Is Murph going to rub it in? We'll find out right here on Bud Light Baseball Brunch on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. We'll be right back right after this. Premier vintage sports clothing and collectibles retail store in the tri-state area. Visit www.BucksCountyBaseballCO.com or stop by the Bristol, PA location. Items from the Phillies, Eagles, Sixers, Flyers, and much, much more. I'm hoping the Union. Again, visit www.BucksCountyBaseballCO.com or stop by their Bristol, PA location. The showroom is huge and the website is even bigger. Bucks County Baseball Company, the name in Philly for vintage sports. Welcome back for our last segment here. Bud Light Baseball Brunch here on Sunday morning as we lead you into Phillies Pirates. Also, a friendly reminder that our friends of the program, King of Prussia Diner, they're reopening next weekend. So make sure you guys get over there and visit our friends. I know we recently have been saying that they had a job fair, but it looks like they are staffed and ready to go. So they will be reopening next weekend. So make sure you guys make it down there. And man, I don't care, Murph. It doesn't matter what time of day it is. If I go to a diner, I'm getting breakfast. Doesn't matter. Got to get it. Got to get an omelet.
One of those guys. Yeah, not me. I'm more of a lunch guy myself.
Yeah, you look like you're a Reuben guy, Reuben kind of guy.
No.
BLT.
I like if I'm getting something like that, I'm going grilled cheese, the grilled ham and cheese, or something along those lines.
That's solid.
Make myself hungry.
That's solid. Well, listen, you had a great week last week, Murph. You went 2-1. You're back to 500. 23-23-1.
That's right.
Brace, give it to me.
How'd you do?
I know you got to give me a bad. You got to give me a bad one.
Hey, look, you had a nice little run for there for a little bit.
I was hot, and now I'm not, Murph. Now I'm not. So 0-3. You're taking all the low hanging fruit now. You kind of bought into how I was making my picks. So
yes,
I got to give you kudos because I was looking at two of your picks today, and then you go ahead and you say it before the show. So nonetheless, Murph, give me your first one. What's on your ticket today?
All right. Well, I'm taking those Toronto Blue Jays today back up there in their home ballpark. A lot of excitement north of the border. Blue Jays are playing good baseball right now, honestly, and I really like the way they're playing. I like the matchup for them today as well as I'm looking at my notes here, but they're minus 280. So as you talk about a little low hanging fruit, they are heavy favorites today, and that's why I like them. So I'm going to go with them to win that ball game today.
Did you really need to look at notes? All you had to do was say the Blue Jays were playing the Royals, and I think everybody would have understood, because when there's a money line like minus 290, Murph, I don't think much explanation needs to be said. But Jose Berrios in his first start for the Blue Jays, it's a solid pull by you. I'm going to go with the Yankees to get the sweep in Miami today. I think today is the day that the bats do go off. I know that's not going to correspond with one of your picks that you're going to be making here coming up, but I'm going to take the Yankees minus 154 to sweep out the Fish down in Miami.
All right, I like that. How about pick number two for me, the Dodgers and Arizona. This is a 4-10 start. Urias is on the mound for the Dodgers, and it's Arizona. So, you know, Arizona, not a very good team. Got worse at the trade deadline. So I love the Dodgers to win this game easy. They're minus 240, so obviously Vegas likes them as well. But, yeah, give me the Dodgers. Pluck the low-hanging fruit, and it sounds like 2-0 so far for me.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I'm going to go with the Cardinals today. Minus 162, Adam Wainwright on the hill against the Minnesota Twins. This is a four-game set. The Twins have taken 2 of 3 so far, and the Cardinals are playing for something still. I think they're still kind of involved, but as compared to the Twins, they're playing for a hell of a lot more. So I'm going to say the Cardinals at minus 162 today. Adam Wainwright on the hill in St. Louis at Busch Stadium. So that's going to be my second pick. Murph, what's your last one?
All right, you love Adam Wainwright, by the way. You go with him a lot.
I love Adam Wainwright for one reason and one reason only. That curveball that he dropped on Carlos Beltran in the 2006 NLCS in Game 7. Do you need me to say anything else?
Love at first sight. I like it. All right. Good stuff. All right. Well, you talked about the Yankees. I think it's an interesting game as well. And you're right. I think they score some runs today. The Yankees in Miami, down there in South Florida. The over-under is 7 in this game. I like the over. I think the Yankee bats that we talked about, the big boys swing it well down there. It's a to-be-determined pitcher for the Miami Marlins at this point, although they do roll out some pretty good young arms, even when they don't know who's going to be throwing for them.
Yeah, I agree.
But I like the Yankees in this one, and I like the Yankees scoring some runs. I think both teams will score some runs today.
Jordan Montgomery is nothing to
yeah, you know. Give me a 5-3 Yankee win, and then I'm on the over, so I'll take it.
Okay, well, I'm going to stick around in the American League East for my last pick. Red Sox-Rays, Sunday Night Baseball, over 8.5. Nick Pivetta is on the mound tonight for the Red Sox, and there's been a lot of runs scored in this series so far. I forget who the starting pitcher was for the Rays, but I don't really think it matters because both of these teams can hit. And that ballpark down there in Tampa, when the ball is flying out, it's flying out, and these two teams can hit. So I'm going to go on Sunday Night Baseball over 8.5. So those are our six picks for the week. Make sure you guys check them out, and hopefully one of us isn't 0-3 next week and we continue this battle between the two of us. But nonetheless, we have to go to our favorite part of the show. Can you believe it?
Back! Oh! A two-run game things. RBI hit. Can you believe it?
You know, Sean, I got to give you credit. You're quicker on the trigger with that than, your Padawan learner, John Chanson. So I guess that's why you make the big bucks here. So I'm going to give you credit there. Yes, Jansen loves to hit that wood for us as well, and I have to get my shot in there on your young Padawan for sure. But Murph, real quick before we dive in, I got a couple that I want to get out there. Andrew McCutchen's walk-off home run that he had the other night was his eighth career walk-off home run. His first walk-off hit / home run came against Brad Lidge and the Phillies in 2009.
Yeah. So yeah, can you believe that?
Yeah, and then here's another one, because I know we go two for two, but I had a couple. Man, this was a good week.
Can I add on to the McCutchen one
real quick,
though?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
Did you know that he became the first player in Major League Baseball history to have a walk-off home run and a leadoff home run in three separate decades? He's done that feat in three separate decades.
Wow.
Now, a leadoff home run and a walk-off home run. In three separate decades. Only player in Major League history to ever do that.
That's awesome. Yeah, man. That's a good one. Another one that I had, Murph, was from earlier in the week between the Twins and the Tigers. Okay, so the Tigers, let's see here, hitting seven home runs but losing 17. Yeah, okay, so the Tigers won 17-14. The Tigers didn't hit any home runs and scored 17 runs. The Twins hit seven. Scored 14 runs. It's the first time in Major League Baseball history that a team has out-homered an opponent by seven and still lost.
It's nuts. They just had a better kicker, one extra field goal. That's all they needed.
All right, Murph, go ahead. Give me your first one.
All right, how about this? Most starts, and that's not counting openers, because we don't count them as starts.
No, we don't.
But most starts in a single season allowing two hits or fewer. In baseball history, Freddie Peralta, 12 this year in Milwaukee. 12, allowing two hits or fewer in 12 starts this year. Nolan Ryan, 11 back in 1991.
Wow.
And Nolan Ryan, 10 back in 1986. That's your top three right there. Peralta, Ryan, and Ryan.
And Peralta's not done yet.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
That's insane. That's a really good one. I got Joey Votto this week. Joey Votto hit seven home runs in seven consecutive games, which was second most all time. Dale Long, Don Mattingly, and Ken Griffey Jr. all did it in eight consecutive. Joey Votto matched Barry Bonds for the most consecutive games with a home run by a player age 37 or older. And he was one game shy. It would have been nice for him to break that, to tie that record and break that record with Bonds. Would have been nice to have that against the Mets, but unfortunately, they wound up blowing that game yesterday. So.
Yeah, but did you see his fourth at bat in last night's Mets Reds game? It hit the orange line. It hit the orange line.
Oh.
So he was about a foot away from having that as a home run. And he wasn't. He's not my favorite player, so I wasn't exactly rooting for it. But he came within inches of matching that record. So what a run for Joey Votto.
Okay, give me your second one, Murph.
All right, a guy that we've watched over the last couple of days for the Pirates, Rodolfo Castro. How about this? I had to go back and just make sure this was right. He's the first player in the modern era to have his first five career hits be home runs. His first five career hits were home. He had five hits and they were all home runs. Who does that? He's had a pretty good series too against the Phillies. Good young player. So, but that's unbelievable, right?
It felt like Hoskins was that hot when he first came up 4 years ago in 2015.
Five hits.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean?
It felt that way. Yeah,
I agree.
I'm going to stick in the same realm. White Sox catcher Sebby Zavala. His first three homers of his career, all in the same game. Nobody had ever done that before in American League or National
Last
League
night.
History. Last night. Yeah. I had money on that game, and unfortunately I wound up losing it. But nonetheless, here, Murph.
You can't put it in the ball.
Love the Hawk. Love the Hawk. What you got, Murph?
I said. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, you're fine.
I said,
yeah, you can't hear the Hawk. You played the Hawk.
No, I can't.
You
I'm can sorry,
put it on the board. Yes,
you can put it on the board.
Yeah, he had a great slam in the game as well.
Yes, he did. They were up 6-1. I was cashing that ticket already, and unfortunately, it didn't go my way. But
there you go.
Here we go, Murph. We're looking at we got like 30 seconds here. This upcoming week, we have the finale today. We're trying to stave off a sweep against the Pirates. Four games.
set in Washington. I'm looking at we need to get 3 or 4 at least in that series before the Mets come to town next weekend for Alumni Weekend. What do you got for me, Murph? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I agree with you. They win today. The Phillies win today. Lock it down. They absolutely win today. And then, yeah, they need to take 3 or 4. They will take 3 or 4 against the Nationals. That is my prediction. They're not going to sweep them, but they'll take 3 or 4. So you're going to come back home with 4-3 on this road trip. Not ideal, but at least it's a winning record.
I'm right there with you. All right. Well, thank you all for tuning in again. As always, the Bud Light Baseball Brunch here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. For my man, Sean Brace, Sam Ross over there at Sea Isle at her shore house. For Greg Murphy, my boy, thank you so much, as always, for tuning in. I'm Chris Sack. We will catch you next week on same time down there at 1100 Social. So make sure you guys check us out. And like a 3-1 pitch to Ryan Howard, we are out of here, baby. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.